If you haven't noticed out there yet, it's getting cold and it's spooky season. And we talk about fear a little bit a few weeks ago when we talked about anxiety. And we talked about how fear and anxiety are two different things. Anxiety is a constant sense of apprehension, often as a response to an imprecise or unknown threat. Whereas fear is the emotional response to a known or a definite threat. And fear inside of us can cause us to make bad decisions. Fear is a popular way to influence people right now, and social media has made that easier than ever. And it's only going to get even easier. The advent of AI has made it so easy to make photos and videos that look so real. I made a really stupid one. Let's check it out.
Hello, I'm Drake London. Let me tell you today's news. In a bizarre turn of events, local pastor Phil Wayman, known for his weekly sermons at Clarksburg Baptist Church, reportedly underwent a startling transformation into a werewolf during last night's full moon. Witnesses say the normally mild-mannered preacher let out a howl that echoed through the neighborhood just past midnight before sprinting toward the woods at supernatural speed. Churchgoers were left speechless, with Madonna Roach saying, "He looked like any other guy on Sunday." Then suddenly, fang alert. Authorities confirmed no injuries or property damage, but advised residents to stay indoors during future full moons while animal control investigates. Representatives from Clarksburg Baptist issued a statement early this morning assuring the congregation that Pastor Phil will still deliver Sunday's sermon, provided he isn't, otherwise engaged.
That took me like 3 minutes. It was free, and it was super duper easy. I don't know that deserves a round of applause. But all the words I just said, make a video about how a local pastor is a werewolf now. And I added in Madonna Roach's name. But day by day, if you want to see, so that's a free one that let me do like a minute long video. There are videos that are indistinguishable from real life if you only want to do like 15 or 20 seconds now. And more these things will be used to promote fear. And it will be hard to know the difference, whether it's real or not. And it will get worse before it gets better. And we need to make sure that as Christians, we're only spreading authentic and true messages. We all know that politics are very divisive these days, and it seems to be getting even worse. But politics are so divisive because fear is so divisive. And fear divides us. You guys ready to be a little nervous about what I'm going to say? Yeah. I remember when President Obama got elected, there were people who literally said that we were living in the end times, it's over, the tribulation has started, the world's going to burn down, and fear was at a high level. I remember when President Trump got elected in 2016, a very similar thing happened. World War III is going to happen, the world's going to burn down, fear was at a high level. Well, why does this happen? Because you can raise a lot of money peddling fear. If this person wins, this will happen. They'll take away your guns, they'll take away your religious liberty, or they are bigots, they're racist, we're setting our country back 50 years. Just donate to the Democrats below to stop the world from blowing up. Just donate to the Republicans to stop the world from blowing up. My political rivals are liars and phonies and scam artists. They're ruining our country, but I will stop them. Just donate below. And this works. People are so blind to this game. And the bottom line is we fear loss. The loss of control. The loss of opportunity. The loss of our culture. The loss of what we had. The loss of our progress. The loss of our bright future. White people fear what might happen. And people of color fear what's already happened and whether or not it will happen again. And it's scary. And we aren't careful, we allow ourselves to be consumed and controlled by fear. It's so very easy because fear keeps us listening. Fear keeps us from doing what we know is right or holding our own people accountable because I need to look the other way on this thing because if not, then this will happen and this is scary. And things are too scary to play by the rules anymore or to value character and integrity. And we have to stop caring so much about what is right, because all we need to care about anymore is whether or not we win. Why? Because fear. But we know that fear makes us irrational. Fear makes us lash out at people. My wife has never hit me except for when I've scared her. Right? We do that, right? And we do that because we become defensive immediately, instinctually. If someone jumps out, we want to smack them. And when we have fear that's ruling our lives, we are motivated by that. And social media is one of those things that uses fear to motivate us and to grab our attention so that they can sell us ads. Time magazine article in April 2019 talked about how since 2014, there are troll farms that have been set up in other countries where people are paid to make fake social media accounts. And these people's only job is to spread false and disparaging messages on social media in order to divide people with fear. They are literally being paid to make us mad at each other. There's a new Superman movie, and this is it kind of depicted the trolls, and this is what they look like. That's who you're arguing with on Facebook. And you would think that they would only take one side of an argument on these big hot-button issues like gun control or abortion. But evidence shows that millions of dollars have been spent on both sides of these issues. Why? Because, like Abraham Lincoln said, a house divided cannot stand. And actually, Jesus was the one that said it first in Matthew. He said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And fear is always a great tool of the enemy. Why is our country so divided? Why are our churches so divided? Fear. Yes, this fear has crept into the church. And pastors stand behind pulpits and tell you that we're losing and that we're in trouble and that we should be worried or you should be scared because our enemies are winning. And if they do, it's all over. As if God's not in control. As if this material world is eternal. As if God's kingdom is an earthly country. What happened to faith and hope, belief, courage, and patience? The TV tells us that these things are too scary to practice right now. These biblical principles, we can't use those right now. It's too bad out there. But God is not shaking in his boots, hiding under the covers, or frozen with fear. So what do we do about this fear? Is it okay to live and be motivated to act based on fear? Well, let's look at what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7. Y'all read this with me. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. In this letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a young preacher, Paul told him that you've been given gifts and God has great things for you. And people are going to say you're too young and that your inner dialogue might bring up all the reasons why you should be afraid. But Paul is encouraging him. God is not in that feeling of fear. Instead, God has promised you through Christ a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of self-control. When you talk about Christians today, is that the spirit, when you're talking to these people, is that the spirit that you gather from them? Power, love, self-control. When you have conversations today with Christians, do you leave with the impression that they understand the power that they have been promised by their God? Do you leave believing they understand that God has promised them a supernatural gift to be able to love people that maybe are not lovable? That this gift is so strong that you can even love your enemies. When you read your Christian friends' social media posts, are you taken aback by just how much self-control they have? How often are we motivated by fear rather than faith? The Bible says, fear not hundreds of times. How's that working out for y'all? What's wrong with us? How can we remove this fear inside of us? Well, Louis Giglio gives us four steps. The first one is this. We remember and remind ourselves that God is able. God is able. God is in control. God knows exactly what's going on in the world and in your life. God sees what's on the news. Nothing surprises God. And he knew what was going to happen a billion years in the past. And he knows what's going to happen a billion years in the future. God is God, and there is no other God before him. You can trust him. Matthew 6, 25. Jesus says this. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, whether you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. God takes care of the birds. Can't God take care of you? I was in a particularly fearful place about 9 years ago, and I had real and tangible things to be afraid of, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And where I worked, there was a trail through the woods that you could go and walk, and I'd go and I would pray. But this time, I was really having a hard time getting past my fear to that prayer part. But even though I was having a hard time speaking to God, he still chose to speak to me. And I sat down on this bench in the woods, and my head was hung low, and I stared at the ground. And out of my daze, I realized that the forest floor was alive with movement. Ants were busy carrying leaves and sticks, and beetles were headed off who knows where. And God spoke to my heart right then that he knows every ant on the whole entire planet, and that he knows where they're headed. He knows what they're working on. And I was doubting whether God knew what was going on in my life. Oh, me of little faith. And God broke through my fear and reminded me that he is able, that he's in control, and I can trust the God that knows. We remind ourselves to fight fear, that God is able. And then we set the Lord before us. This verse, as we just read, it said, you're anxious about this, you're anxious about that, you're anxious, but stop worrying about that and seek first the kingdom of God. And that's what the second one is we set the Lord before us. Psalm 16 was written by the shepherd boy David, who would become the king, and he said this in Psalm 16, 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. See, we head in the direction that we focus on. And when you're looking in a direction, that's where you're walking. And if you set your fear and anxiety on the things of this world, that is what you are going to focus on. But if you set the Lord before you, it says here that he will be at our right hand and we shall not be shaken. David here knew how important it was to seek God's kingdom first. How was this shepherd boy able to face this giant Goliath? Because his faith was bigger than his fear, and his God was bigger than his problems. So he set his sights on God and ran right at his problems. These are the things that are supposed to set us apart from the world. The fact that we have this power and love and self-control, and that we're not motivated by fear. And this giant was bigger than David, but God was bigger than his giant. Don't magnify your problems and shrink your God. Shrink your problems and magnify your God. Psalms 34:4 tells us again, it says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. We just sang that, right? I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Seek ye first. We remember that God is able. And we remember that we've got to set our God before us. And thirdly, we've talked about this over and over throughout this series, inside out. How do we fight these things inside of us? We've got to reveal them. We've got to name our fears. Talk through your fears with God. Be specific. God, I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my house if I don't have a breakthrough. God, I'm scared of what's going on in this world. God, my marriage is falling apart. God, I'm worried that my child is going down the wrong path. Talk to God about your fear and be specific. You don't have to clean yourself up and sanitize your speech and talk in all these holy terms to God. You can go and say, God, I am afraid. I'm scared to death. Talk to God. Psalms is full of lists of fears of David and other men of God. Things like, God, my enemies are surrounding me. I don't know how to get out of this pit. My tears are my only food. I'm drowning in despair. People are laying traps for me. And David names his fear. Psalms 56:1, he does this. David says, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. But then he changes. He talks, he's honest with God about these things. But then you see him set God before him once again. He says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose words I praise. In God, I trust. Amen. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? David admits why he's afraid, but he remembers that God is able and he can trust him. So we remember that God is able, and we set the Lord before us, and we name our fears. We can't heal what we won't reveal. And then lastly, we fill our mouth with praise. When we magnify our God with praise, our fears fade in the distance. Chloe and I went to a concert, a Christian concert on Wednesday over here at the Grand, and it was awesome. We had a really great time. But I looked around, and I noticed so many men that were stone-faced. And they just looked like angry or like completely apathetic, or I don't know whether they were too scared to sing or they just weren't excited about what was going on. But I want to encourage you men, if you're too scared to move your mouth in this house, now I sit way up here in the front, so I don't know who does this or not. But if you're too scared to do that, you're missing out on something special. You're the one that is missing out on something that God could do in your heart and in your life. And I want to encourage you to get a little bit of courage and to be a little bit braver with the spiritual part of you. And yes, it might feel a little bit awkward, and you might think that that's, God forbid, you think that praising God is like a woman thing or something. We need a little bit of more bravery and courage. Because you're missing out on something special when we praise God. And if we can't move our lips in praise in this place, how can we ever do it out there? And if you can't worship and praise your God, then your faith is weaker than it should be. Amen. Louis Giglio says the antidote to fear is faith, and the soundtrack of faith is worship. Worship and lifting up our voice in praise is a time where we put ourselves to the side and we stop thinking and being so self-conscious or thinking about our pride, and we say, I'm going to give something special to God. I'm going to lift my voice. God's people are a singing people. It's always been this way. Worship and worry cannot occupy the same place. And praise reminds us how big our God is. Psalms 56 3 says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? So how can we remove this fear inside of us? We're reminded that God is able. We set the Lord before us. We name our fear, and we fill our mouth with praise. We can all probably remember getting separated from our parents when we were children. And you turned around and all of a sudden they were gone, whether in the grocery store or the mall or at a park. And fear overcame you and you cried out to your parent and still nothing. And you gave up hope. I'm lost forever. I'm going to live in this grocery store the rest of my life. You're never going to see me again. But then you heard them calling your name. They weren't far. They were just around the corner and they knew where you were at. They were keeping their eye on you. And they called to you so that you would be aware of their presence, to know that you weren't alone. And God is our Father. How much more should we trust that He sees us and that we're not alone? Fear not. C.S. Lewis ends the Chronicles of Narnia series with a powerful picture of how fear can control people. There's an ape named Shift who wants power in Narnia, but he knows that no one would ever follow him. So he finds a timid donkey named Puzzle and forces him to wear a lion skin, pretending to be Aslan, the great lion, which is an allegory of Jesus in this series. And from a distance and in the dark, the donkey dressed as a lion in disguise looks real enough. You can see that there, right? Got his little snout poking out and his hooves. And it looks close enough. And so he begins to speak. Shift begins to tell Puzzle what to say. Or even better, he just puts him in a room somewhere and he comes out and tells everybody what Aslan is saying. And he tells everyone that Aslan is angry and that they better obey or be punished. And the talking animals, they tremble and they're too afraid to question, too fearful to think for themselves. And just like that, one lie built on fear controls a whole kingdom. And Shift the ape, he didn't really have a plan besides the fact that he just was completely self-centered and he loves to feel important. And he forces other animals to wait on him, bringing him food and even doing work and eventually some of them even dying for him. And the animals continue to do this because he tells everyone that Aslan speaks only to him. And he takes Aslan's voice and uses it for himself, and he twists it, and eventually goes against Aslan's genuine words. And the animals, they went along with this because they were afraid. And Lewis was showing us something deep, that fear is the easiest way to enslave people. It blinds us to the truth. It causes us panic. And when we panic, we make bad decisions, and we decide things are okay in that situation when we said they wouldn't be in every other situation. And fear just silences our courages and makes us follow false voices. But Scripture says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind, self-control. And when fear starts dressing itself up to look like authority or uses God's words for their own gain, like that donkey in a lion's skin, remember that voice isn't from God. A voice that is panicked, a voice that tells us not to do what's right in this situation because times are too scary, that is not from God. God is not a God of fear or confusion. The church is not a people of fear. And when that feeling of fear that isn't from God rushes over us, when we're buying into the narratives that our culture is pushing, that all is lost and only they are the answer, when it feels like you're afraid and all alone, God is calling you to be aware of His presence, to look to Him for the truth, to seek Him first, focus on His words, and listen for His voice. Fear not. God is able. Set Him before you, name your fears, and fill your mouth with praise.